I really think I want to start with a prayer because the Lord needs to help me not to say anything too stupid. Okay. Father, just thank you so much. Just to get to come back to GES and just see friends again and just learn and keep learning until we go home with you. Just keep sharpening our understanding. Help us to be always open to truth and be corrected where we need to be corrected. And thank you for the memories you've given me throughout the years of just all that I've learned through GES. They're like family and friends to me. And for Zane Hodges, who's with you now, I just thank you for all those great memories. And I pray that this won't be a waste of time, but it'll bring glory to your name. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, okay, I had so many folders. And if you could see them, and most of them, I don't need that. I think I've had that in another folder. And so I don't know what you're getting today, but, you know. Oh, there's Marie back there. Were you here when I was talking about you?
No, she just walked in.
Oh, that was Paul Carpenter's wife. And I'm sorry, I don't remember your first name.
Carol,
that's right. And I was telling her about how her husband's tape just really ministered to us years ago, and you were one who it really ministered to, too. So... okay. This is not envelope number one. This is envelope number one. So we'll hopefully get started right on that. What I wanted to do, since Bob asked me, just share memories of not just Zane, but just memories of how we got acquainted with GES and just how GES itself and Zane. And so I was going through all my emails and hopefully got them in order. We'll find out. And some old pictures that may or may not be of interest to some of you. But let me just start real quick, and I know time goes fast and I probably won't get very far, but just a quick my testimony. I grew up, my parents didn't go to church, but they always saw fit to send us kids to Sunday school. And we went to, back then it was a Christian Reformed church. I didn't know anything about theology, but I did learn all the Bible stories and the fundamentals of the faith. Then I went off to high school, and in 10th grade, this is my memory, I got involved with a Christian group, and I always loved God in my own way. I just didn't know any theology, didn't even hear that language. You had to be saved. It wasn't language that I remember in the church I grew up. But God used that church, even though they weren't the same doctrine. He used those stories to be working on me. And so in high school, I got involved with a Christian youth group, YFC, Youth for Christ. And that was my life. I mean, my friendships and all. And I remember, this is still a memory with me. I know we're not saved by memory when you're saved, but this is something I knew I was saved from that moment on, never doubted it. And it was just standing out in the hallway in the high school. I have the memory of a few friends. I don't remember who they were, but they were probably my YFC, some real YFC friends. And I was standing out in the hallway and reading John 3:16, which I memorized as a child. I knew that verse. But God enlightened me that day. I remember this still to this day. I remember reading it again. And it was, hi, I know this person. I've got some stories to tell about her husband, too. Anyways, give him my testimony. So I was standing out in the hallway, and that verse, I remember thinking, oh, that's why he died, to give me everlasting life just by believing in him. And I knew it wasn't by works. Now, did I learn that through YFC and my friends? I'm sure I got some insight. I don't even remember what they were. You know, they had the invitations, like all people. But I was just enlightened. I mean, I just got it, you know. Oh, that's that verse. That's why he died for me. And I have never doubted my salvation ever since that day, ever. I didn't know any theology. I didn't know hardly anything. I've learned at GES in all these years about assurance being a, you know, I didn't know any of that. But I knew I was saved, and I use the word saved, going to heaven, you know. never doubted it in all these years. And then some of my friends from YFC, we all went off to Calvary Bible College in Kansas City, and that's where I met my husband. And I got to make this a short. Well, we got a few minutes, so I better make this really short because I want to get the letters. And we got married, and I'm going to leave out all the stuff in between. But where do I want to go from here? I got notes to keep me on track. So it says, how did I first tell him about how I first heard about GES and Zane Hodges? Well, we were going to a very good Free Grace Church in Kansas City. He taught at Calvary Bible College that first year, never did after that. He was just a pastor of the church. But he was very good, and he was Free Grace, and they didn't even use that terminology back then. I just remember him using the terminology grace, legalism. You know, you're either, you know, that's the language they used back in those days. And today I look back and I see some things that I don't think he taught exactly right, you know, some things you get refined through the years, but he was Free Grace. And I'm very thankful for that teaching. It got us grounded well in Free Grace, in grace, not works. We were there for many years, and our kids were raised there until the older ones were in high school, and we went to a different church. And I started listening to a preacher I loved on the radio. His name is John MacArthur. And it was Grace to You. And I really liked his preaching. To this day, I still think he's a good preacher. I just don't agree with his theology. But anyways, one day, I'm jumping over a bunch of time, and one day I was in my car. I still do this to this day. I get off in my special spot, me and alone with the Lord, and do my Bible study. That's why I have back problems, because I'm in my car all the time. And I was listening to another Grace to You, and he was going through a series called The Gospel According to Jesus. Yeah, I'm sure you're very familiar with that. And what it took to wake me up was him naming three people who were wrong on, and he used the word the gospel, the saving message of the gospel, and he called it, they preach easy believism. And even that didn't wake me up till he named the names of the three. And that shocked me, because I knew those were good teachers, and it shocked me. And I can't even remember the other two, but I remember the first one. It was Lewis Berry Schaefer. And I think that was it Charles Ryrie?
Dr. Ryrie.
And who was the third? Was it
Zane Hodges?
Was it Zane? Because Zane, well, I didn't know Zane Hodges, and that wouldn't have shocked me because I had never heard of him yet, but I knew there was a third one.
That's like in the first line of the foreword of the book. It says these people are guilty of preaching, even though I owe so much to Dr. Ryrie, et cetera.
Yeah.
But he named them, and Hodges in class said, at that point, the Gospel Under Siege had only sold a few thousand copies.
Oh,
yeah,
that was one of my first books that he ever got.
Many, many more copies because of that.
That's amazing. I'm glad to know those names, because I couldn't remember the third line. But anyways, how much time have I wasted here? Anyways, I mean, got to his emails. But that upset me so bad that I just started seeking for whatever I could find. Why would he say that? And so I remember, this is my memory, I think it's a faulty memory, because I don't remember Zane selling his books in a mall Christian bookstore, but I found this book in a mall Christian bookstore in my memory, and wherever it was a Christian bookstore, and guess what it was?
Absolutely free.
And it was
sold,
in a
Christian bookstore.
Was it? Well, that's my memory. Okay, that was my memory. I even remember the bookstore and the mall and all, but I thought, I didn't remember him doing that. But anyways, it was in response to John MacArthur's Gospel According to Jesus. And I bought that book, and I consumed it, and consumed it, and consumed it. My husband, too. We both were doing this together. I mean, even on trips, I was in chapter 12, repentance. I mean, just over and over and over. And I, hi. We're just having a conversation. But it was great. It was absolutely the most marvelous. And my husband and I both just loved everything we learned from this person, Zane Hodges, and that book. And so thankful for it. And where do I go from here? If I don't stay on track, you won't be able to have your session. It says, okay. So I got to turn it sideways. I have these notes. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not real together with my notes, but it says, I don't remember exactly how I came to know GES, but it had to be just through something through Zane and probably the internet and all, and I started buying all Zane's books. And the first, let me just say the first GES conference we ever went to was 1997. Bob was there. It was 1997 in a little building in Irving, Texas. And we were so excited to get to meet all these people we had been hearing and reading about and all, and Bob and all. But of course, that's when we met Zane face to face. And Dr. Rademacher was just at that time selling his, they were just coming out, his Nielsen New Study Bible, New King James Study Bible. He was promoting it at that time, I remember. Jody Dillon was there with Reign of the Servant Kings, and that's why he was there. So I learned about rewards. But anyways, that started it, and I got acquainted with Fran and Kathy Beach, who were there for years with GES. And this one I can't forget to tell you this. Nancy, where is she? She's way in the back of the corner. She went with us to that 1997 conference. And at that time, she was expecting her first child, who is now 23 and married. So that's how long ago that was. And so then, let me see what's in my notes, so I'll probably still won't have enough time, but my first email I have, but this doesn't make sense. Yeah, no, my first email I had between Zane and me was 1994, and it's somewhere in the pile. Maybe I'll find it. But that was first one. Bob says, Diane, you have hundreds of emails from Zane. The other Bob Wilkin, he says, you have hundreds of why don't you share that with someone? And I counted, I got like 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 or something. I couldn't find hundreds. But I have, my files are so messed up that I have his letters all over the place and all kinds of files, or who knows that. And I did send a bunch after he died to GES, but I don't know if they would still have them. Anyways, I do remember at one of the conferences early on, and you can figure out when that date was by it, talking to Zane in the lobby of that first conference center we had, not the Riley Center, before that or something. And Zane was talking to me, and he had this look in his face like, I can't believe this. And what it was, he says, Diane, I've turned 70. He did it. And I can still see that look on his face. I've turned 70. So I have that memory, too. I don't know why I do. But in 2000, I'm going ahead of myself, but in 2000, we must have been at a GES conference, because we visited Victor Street and went to their, that was my other daughter, who's not here. She had her baby Chapman there, her first child, at that church. She didn't go to the Lord's Supper because babies could interfere, but she went to the church service. Bob spoke and Zane. Zane did I remember them both doing the Lord's Supper. And my son-in-law went to the Lord's Supper that day, and I went, and Kathy didn't because of the baby. She went to the service. And this is a picture of that day. I don't know. I can pass it around if you want to see it. It's Bob with Zane at Victor Street, my little grandson, who is now graduating this year from college, so a long time ago. But so Bob asked me to share, besides some emails, some quick memories that I have that are good memories. And it's not all this. Believe me, I don't even know what this is. But I was going to see if... this is the one. This was sent in 2002. And I'm not even going to read this one because there's too many I could read. And there's lots. These are some pictures I just colored off. And this is your mother's permission, Megan. A memory I have is 19. It probably was 1999, before we moved to Arkansas. Bob Wilkin came to our little country church. Megan over there behind you and her two little girls who weren't even born yet because she wasn't married yet. Bob came and spoke at our little country church. And her mother and dad and her younger sisters all went to the little country church. And Bob came. We had gotten him, loved him, and invited him, and he came. And he spoke at our little church. But that night before the church service, Saturday night, he was in our home. And this is a picture of, it's a bulletin. This is in our home. And this is the little country church. And... I don't have to pass it around. It's probably not worth seeing, but he's in our basement there in a rec room with all the veggie tails on the wall. I remember that. and this is our little church. Well, Connie and her mom and dad went to that church, and the people who came to my house that night were a lot of, I invited friends from that little church. Now, a few of them came, and then other friends came to hear Bob. Now, here's the part that's good, good memory. I just wrote this, Megan. It says, Connie's permission to share her story about Bob. So just this week, I got her mom's permission to share this story about Bob Wilkin. And Connie, and she says you were there, but you were, I probably look like a, but Bob made it very clear about salvation by faith alone, apart from no works, and all this lordship stuff, you know. Well, her mother is a very, very sweet, lovely lady, and she never, ever mentioned to me how she felt about that conversation. For months went by, months, and then... Oh, yeah, Bob, we're talking about you. No, come on. I'll just repeat the first part of this because of that. I'm telling that story, that memory of when you visited a little country church and you were downstairs in our basement, and Connie, Megan's mother and dad were there, and I didn't know for many, many months later that they didn't like you at all. Not at all. You said things that her mom and dad didn't say or something like that. I don't know exactly how it went. Whatever she grew up with, you were not saying the exact same thing. But she didn't tell me that. She's too much of a, you know, just a sweet lady, and she would never be impolite. So I never knew that. He went to spoke at our church the next day. And so after I heard that, she goes, Diane, she says, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. She is one of the most solid free gracers today because she set out to prove you. She used different words in this. To prove you wrong, was it cook your goose or whatever? I don't remember exactly, but it was something like that. She was going to prove you wrong. And in her studies to go forth to prove you wrong in the Bible, she came to see it exactly as you presented it. And today, she's one of my best free grace friends. You see her on Facebook or post or emails, just promoting the truth. And you had that influence, and that's what happened that day. So that was this. And this, let me just real quick just read this little permission that she gave me this week. She says, I'm so excited that Megan and Matt and Zoe and Ruby, that's their little girls, are coming to the GES conference. Can't wait to see them and meet these sweet little girls who I No. I told you I'd mess up. That's what I said to her. I messed up. Here's what she said to me. I write pretty good there. Here's what she said. She said, "Yes, of course, you may share your memory about my transformation." She says, "I shudder to remember how ungracious I was about my traditions being challenged." She never was ungracious to me, ever. She never even told me she was mad about it. She says, "However, I praise God that he used you and Dale and Bob Wilkin to lead me to the truth of his free grace. Thankfully, the Word and the Holy Spirit have left me barely recognizable from that self-indulged person I was those many years ago." And she just goes on to say some nice things. But anyways, that was a memory that I wanted to share. And this, and I am going to get, I don't have hundreds. I have maybe 10, 15, 20, I don't know. But, and they're not, I want to get to them all today. What time do we get quit? You might have to leave earlier, huh? Yeah. But anyways, real quick, just tell you a few memories. Sharon, I haven't seen her. She's not coming today. Is she? Well, Sharon has become a good friend, and we used to come to GS conferences. And when Dale and I had some free time, Sharon took us all over Dallas. We went every place. This is at your house, Bob, when she took Marie. Marie's back there. That's at her house, at Bob and Sharon's house. And that's my husband. And this here is very special because, and Bob, you said that I could tell my memories of GES and Zane.
Yeah.
I got to get to Zane real quick. I'm sorry, I'm so slow. I'm trying to go fast. I really am. This is my daughter. I think it was Linda. My husband died in 2014. It'll be 7 years ago. Seems like yesterday, Bob. He came all the way from Dallas at the last minute. Bob came and shared in his memorial service. That means everything to our family. That's a memory. But here's that picture in our house. Now, the next morning, Sunday morning, during Sunday school hour, I don't have the people around, but I have Bob in my living room. I don't live there anymore, but that was at my husband's memorial service and at my home the next day. And that was that's a good memory forever. Well, they don't want to see all these.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, some of them are really silly. These, remember when you sell your shirts? Well, when we go on vacations, we would advertise for. This is Estes Park. We love to celebrate Estes Park, and I don't know if you want. Linda, these are going to be boring to most people. These are my memories, so for me.
Of course they're
boring. Yeah, I should have thought. You know, you think after all these years I'd catch that, you know. Yeah. Linda, we were afraid Linda was going to marry a guy named Dahl, but she did. Anyways, this is a very good memory for me. It may not mean anything to you because everyone takes hundreds and thousands of pictures at GES. But my husband, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, Bob, he loved Bob Bryant, and we would always get his tapes and listen to his messages. And that's just a picture of you and Dale at a GES conference. So I had to print it out, even though it's not, you know, just a picture. But it's a good memory, very good memory. And in fact, when my husband was, you probably don't want me to say this because you're going to get embarrassed, but my husband, when he was going through his illness, when got so he couldn't go anywhere or do anything, he'd always say, "Put on a Bob tape." So we put on a Bob tape. He didn't need that to go to sleep. It woke him up. He loved it.
Actually, he called him his TV
pastor. Yeah. But he'd say to me, put on a Bob tape is the way he'd say it. But his TV. We love our pastor, who is our pastor at church now. So I'm just remembering memories. Okay, I'm almost done. Bob, I can't remember this couple's name, but I know them from GES. And they live in Kansas City, went to Blue Ridge Bible Church. I can't remember their name, but you were there for something. That's my husband, Dale, and Bob, and with these couple. What's their name? Can you remember their name?
Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember the name, though.
And Dick Barry.
Yeah, Barry's. That's right.
Yeah, sure.
That's right.
She
yeah.
And they just stroke, but yeah, because they texted her yesterday.
What?
And he said, sure, they just stroke, and she recovered.
Oh, okay.
She had a stroke?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean,
yeah. Okay,
they
I did not know that.
She did.
Oh, wow. I did not know that, so that may be why they're not here. Yeah. I'm sorry. There you go. And the reason, this is my silly daughter, Linda. I have three silly daughters, but she's the worst. I mean, she's she's usually Kansas City Royal shirt. She made us all dress up in Royal shirts on one Christmas, the whole family for Christmas pictures. It was when they won the World Series. That's why. This here is a silly picture. I think it was taken 2 years ago. The last one. She stole Ken Yates' name tag. I don't.
Was he wearing it at the time?
Notice he doesn't have it on. He doesn't have it on. So, anyways, honey, I don't know if you want to. This one, I'm not even going to pass around. It's just a memory. Tony Evans and Linda. She gets it all the pictures, so. And this is one of Charles Ryrie was here, just a quickie, you know, a long time ago. You don't have to pass those all around because they have them and they're, you know. This is one, Bob, I shouldn't have sent this one, but Sharon would visit us sometimes. She'd come to Arkansas, and this is the last time she's there. We visited my son-in-law, Lynn. I got 15 minutes, so I got to get to the emails. That's Sharon at Mark's studio. And that's Sharon and Mark. I'm going to quit. The only other one I do want to just show this. When Dr. Rodmacher was through speaking about something, I don't remember for sure, but he was saying good things about St. Hodges, and they embraced when he came down to platform, you know, so that's saying it. But this here is the only last thing I'm going to say is, and before I get to his emails, is I got this in on because this is Ken White and Dale at the banquet. Ken White, the reason I put him in this is because that crossless gospel year, you know, and everyone, so much controversy. Well, Ken was at that, and he was a missionary with New Tribes Mission at the time in Papua New Guinea. He's in now they're in Dominican Republic. But Ken, Dale and I took him out, he and his co-partner, out to dinner that year, to lunch, and got to know him and loved him and all. And all this stuff was being taught that the rose became a big controversy. But Ken went back to the field, and he sent Dale and I an email. I don't remember how long. I probably mailed that to you a long time ago. And wanted to be fair to Zane, because the missionaries were getting all this awful stuff about Zane. It's going in, even the New Tribes, who was a big supporter of Zane. They loved him. But it was this Stiegel stuff. I don't know. I don't mean to call anybody any names. Hey, the Lord forgives. We learned that today. And I think God told him that before today. But anyways, Ken received all that stuff, attacks against GES and Zane and what we were teaching. But he wanted to be fair and give a reading of what Zane really taught, because he heard him and he had questions, but he wasn't sure he was understanding all of it right. So he took the time to write Dale and me, and he put out the whole thing. I don't have time to even begin to go into it. And he wanted us to know that he realized what Zane was saying. Now, I'm going to use a word he didn't use, but this word works for me, Bob. Zane was pointing people to the bullseye. I like the word bullseye. Zane used the word core, I think. But the bullseye works for me because it means you can believe all this stuff that's good and right about the Lord. But if you haven't put your faith alone in Jesus Christ, you still haven't hit the bullseye. And Zane wasn't saying that. He even said, one of my questions was, well, people can just believe that without not knowing any information. And I remember Zane answering that question. It wasn't necessarily my question, and I think I did ask him that, but I think probably it was a question. He says everybody needs information to get to that place. He called it the core. he wasn't saying you don't need, but everybody's information's not the same. Just like that child, you know. And I'm not going to take time to tell that one. But I put that on because now Ken is a, he's one we support. We love this family. And I just, he wrote it. He saw the light because he took the time to study what he was saying. And now he's in the Dominican Republic. He's not with New Tribes. He says he doesn't have any bad feelings or anything. He just left because God was moving him on. He really was moving him on. So now I got to get to the, you got to see this. I'm sorry because it's too fun. This is my memory. Everyone knows my son-in-law, that's Nancy's husband, 10 minutes, how? Oh, man, Bob. I got to say that my son-in-law made some of my passwords. I believe in GES. I thought, you know, Bob, that's not too good. But they know me to love GES, and Dale, too, my husband, too. And so one Halloween, when Summer, she's 23 and married now, she was one that came 1997, wasn't born yet. But on her forehead, she has, this is on Halloween. For all you who don't celebrate Halloween, that's okay. But this happened to be a Halloween costume. And she has, I'm my grandma. She wears my rain hat, my necklace with all my grandkids, my McDonald's bag, and GES banner. So I had to show you that. And I got it. This is the last one. It really is until and I'm going to get to it. And I don't, it doesn't matter if they're out of order now. Have you ever been in Fresco, Colorado? There's a restaurant that we were driving home from, and the sign said, "True freedom is found only in Jesus." Romans 6, cheese curds, mushrooms on your mouth, ice cream treats. And so we went in. Guess what they were giving away? The living water, John. That's how they were giving away. John Niemela passes these out, but wasn't Zane's name and Art Farstad on those or something? Yeah. But I'm going to read one little paragraph, and then I promise I'm getting to the emails at whatever time I have. Chris, my son-in-law, who's not here, went up to the man who owns the place, and he wanted to meet him. He was an older Jewish man with a gray beard. He was a nice, friendly man, and Chris thanked him for using his fast food rest business as a witness for Christ. The owner said that he didn't really consider it a fast food business. He said the business meant nothing to him. It was just a way of telling people about Jesus. Isn't that just great? That was a good man. Okay, now then, you're not going to get many, so let me... I'm sorry, I knew that I wouldn't do well, Bob. I just laughed. No. Okay. Zane Hodges, I learned so much from him, but I don't learn fast. So even when I come to a GES conference, I hear all this good stuff taught, but I have to go home and re-listen and reread to make it stick and put the pieces together. Kind of like, I guess, what Ken White kind of did, you know. And so this one, I'm not going to go into it much. This was John Niemela did a Zane's Further Enlightenment to Romans 8, 9. Well, I listened to the tape. I wasn't there that year. And so I listened to that tape, and I wrote longhand all these. I'm telling you not to say, just to show you how I learn. I'm just notes after notes after notes longhand. And then after I'm done with that, then I type them up so that I could know it's in, and I could highlight things I want to highlight and tell where I can find it, stuff like that. So that's the quickie one there. I don't know. I didn't have to share that, but Zane, that's the way I learned from Zane. That's the way I learned from everybody, Bob, everybody. But I don't type you all up. I can listen, re-listen to Bob and get it. And this one, this is Zane on creation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just... I won't read it all, just that he says, from Zane, this was, actually most of his emails were 2007, 2008, but I have some earlier. I don't know if we'd ever get to them, but most of them was later on. And he says, I won't read my questions because we don't have time, but he says, I am no specialist in creation issues, but I do agree that a young earth squares with Scripture. And I also know that Zane, being Zane, all these years, who knows if he would have changed his mind on some things, you know, I don't know, because he was just let the Word say what the Word said, you know. He says, I personally think Genesis 1:1 describes the creation of the heavens and the earth in the sense of the visible cosmos. That's what he said. We are told nothing really about the creation of the angelic world and would probably be wise not to be dogmatic about that. At least we know from John 1:1-2 that nothing was created without the eternal Word. I think there is a reason to suspect that not only the earth, but the entire heavens and earth are young, and that the age now assigned to the cosmos, 15 billion years or so, is incorrect. We need to be careful about trying to fit Scripture into current scientific theory, which is notably subject to radical change. It is conceivable to me, now we got to remember he's saying it's conceivable, so to me that this, what scientists call the Big Bang was not that, but rather is God's first creative word, Genesis 1:1, an explosion of his power that created all the elements of the cosmos out of nothing, after which he shapes heaven and earth and described as Genesis 1, again by the Word, out of these elements. When our world perishes, these elements will all melt, 2 Peter 3:10. Then he says another one about John, but I'm going to, it's good, but I think, let me see what, I don't have much. Bob, yeah. I've got to read this one, and I don't think you'll mind. This was written from Zane, too, and he says, if it's real short, I have to tell you my question. I put, Zane, we are praying, this was during the controversy, all the attacks Zane was getting, you know, and he says, and I says, Zane, we are praying for Bob and you. It's a joy to do that. That verse you pointed out was so good. I don't remember what it was. The Christian life is so exciting, and knowing the Word makes the journey so sweet, even though there are bumps in the road. We are so glad you're out there for us, always thanking God for you all, you know. And Zane wrote back, and he goes, he says, was thanking me for the gracious words. He was always so kind, just always so kind and gracious. Listen to this, though. This is good. I like this one. He says, keep up your prayers, but if it helps any to know this, over the years, the Lord has given me a fairly thick skin. He says, after all the things the Lordship people have said, I figure I'll never hear anything worse. He says, a real comfort is Luke 6:26. And I looked that up, and that's the verse that says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Oh, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And he said that verse gives him comfort. And he says, Bob, however. It's okay to read this, isn't it? He said, he says, yeah. He says, Bob, however, does not quite have as much experience with this as I do. So prayer for him as he absorbs the blows is so important. It's important to me, too, of course, he said. He added that, it's important to me, too, of course. And he says, for all of us, the only comment that should really matter is, well done, good and faithful servant. The rest is just window dressing. So I probably don't have any more time. This is a good one, too. It's not as personal. I know you can, whoever has to leave right away, just, you know, don't. I won't be in there. I'm surprised anybody's here in the first place, so I really am. Zane said, this was written in, yeah, this was 2008 too. He says, whatever I wrote him, he said it was an excellent question. I don't know what it was. I'll remember once I start reading it. But he says, the real problem here is mainly with, it's talking about nature. The old nature, the new nature, the flesh. He says, the real problem here is mainly with our traditional use of the word nature. Even my abridged American Heritage Dictionary gives a total of 10 messages for the word. The Greek word for nature is, I didn't know how to pronounce that word, and is not used in any of the key relevant passages. The Bible does not talk about either the old phusis or whatever, or my new phusis. Yeah. He says, I am willing to put up with the term nature as long as it is carefully defined. Wait a minute, I've lost my place. I'm willing to put as long as it is carefully defined, which is usually not. On the whole, scriptural subjects are far better understood when couched in scriptural terminology. In Romans 7, 14 through 25, the Greek term, N-O-U-S, is used, mind and understanding. He says, and it is clearly equivalent. It's equivalent for the term inward man, and he gives the verse, 7:22. We might call this the inner self. We might call this the inner self that knows and understands God. That is, the regenerate self. The regenerate self that leaves the body at death and goes immediately to God because it is sinless. That's my husband. That's anyone you've had who is a believer who's going to be with the Lord. Because you're often thinking, what are they doing now? What are they doing? there I go. I knew I was going to do that. Thank you. He says, the contrasting term is flesh, by which Paul clearly means physical self, whose members, that is, the members of the physical body, are controlled by sin. This part of his being is in slave service to sin. I'm skipping the verses. Just as the mind is in slave service to the law of God. And he gives the verses. The word rendered serve means serve as a slave. But we need to remember that thoughts, feelings, and desires are physically based. And our experience of them is essentially physical. The inward man can think, will, and feel. But so can the flesh. That was kind of new when I read that. He says, it is by no means accurate to say that our inner life is the product of and only the product of the inward man. The inward man has the capacity to understand what is good and to will to do it. The inward man. Wait, did I say that right? Yeah, the inward man has the capacity to understand what is good and to will to do it. And he gives the verses. But the inward man cannot bend the body to what it wishes. If one wishes to describe this as a conflict between two natures, that could perhaps be done, but very carefully. But what Paul really teaches is that the inward man is the real me, verse 25b, myself, and its opposite number is the flesh. So the real me is my regenerate self, and my flesh that does everything. He says, but that is me also, because I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. The believer has, in a sense, a split personality. But must learn, and I yellowed that word learn for my own remembering, I had to learn to think of himself in terms of his union with Christ, by means of which he is dead to sin. So I'm right at the end of it. It teaches this, that we should resist the strong tendency to oversimplify. While we are carefully maintaining the biblical distinctions clearly, he says, I don't know whether this helps or not, but please do not feel free to follow up with further questions. And boy, I was always following up with further questions. I don't think I'm going to have time, am I? Because you all got, I know you speak, and somehow you're involved. That's Bob. But, I mean, I don't know. Does anyone want to stay a minute or two? Some of them may have to leave. I don't know. But,
Okay.
Okay.
You
know, yes. I don't know if you still have them. After Zane died, I sent a lot. It was Kyle working then, and I sent them to him and his address. But I have them saved.
Yeah, maybe some of the daughters can pull out some of the kids and send them to us.
I meant for sure the one about you're not having as thick a skin as him. I think that.
By the way, Zane was 75 and 76, what you're talking about.
Yes. In fact, I was going to read one, but I don't know where it is. I was going to read one where he's answering my question, and I'm in about the crossless gospel controversy and everything, and then I'm not taking time to go look for it, but I remember saying, Zane, I was thanking him for his answer, and I was saying, I pray that God will keep you here teaching us. I pray for you every day that you will be here for many more months, years, and all to keep teaching us God's wonderful word. And then he died a few months after that. I mean, God's timing was perfect. And somebody said just recently, I can't remember who said it. Could have been you. I don't remember, but it was just recently. It says, I think it was maybe one of your 51 videos. Love that. If everyone should put that on their desktop and have that. That's another story, and I'll tell you, but I can't tell those after leave. But the 51, in one of those, I think it was that one. Anyways, that was good, if it isn't. But you said when you speak, your rewards, maybe it was you, Bob, I don't know, your rewards are still going on after you go home with the Lord, because if God is still using your teaching, and Zane's still teaching people to this day, so he's still earning rewards after he went to be with the Lord. And that just, when I heard that, I just loved that. So I got to get with it.
Still being spoken bad about by people too, and
that's right. That's right.
And by the way, next year you need to come back and just do the Zane stuff part of it.
I know. It was fine.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.